Thanks be to God indeed. It's a joy to preach this morning, but I was reminded this week that actually Pat Dayton was supposed to be preaching. He was on the schedule from a couple months ago, and I said, well, it's only right that I bring him up here, so I'm going to bring him up in just a few minutes. I cherish all the opportunities I have left to be in sermonic dialogue with you as a congregation here at Blaine Memorial. Let's start in prayer. Mother and God, you indeed have given us birth. You have welcomed us into the life of this community. You continue to poke and prod. You continue to invite us to grow deeper roots in your love, that our tree branches might extend far beyond this community, that we might bear fruit and bless all who we might encounter. May the words of my mouth, may the words of Pat's mouth, and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This sermon is coming to you in the midst of a sermon series that Reverend Derek has been outlining, Blaine Memorial's discipleship system. And it's as if I were reading a newscast, you know, watching a newscast, and it's as if I would be hearing, you know, we interrupt your regularly scheduled programming on Blaine Memorial's discipleship system to give you eyewitness accounts. We have heard that the risen Christ has appeared once again. And so we're going to live to Pat Dayton to hear some of these things. This is the last Sunday of the Easter season. If you didn't know, we've been celebrating and partying it up for the last 6 weeks. Next week is Pentecost, as Reverend Derek mentioned, and that's the release. It's the empowerment of the people. It's Jesus ascends and the body gets to work. But first, I thought it'd be important to pause, to inquire where exactly have we seen and experienced Easter. Mary gives us the best and probably most succinct sermon on Easter. She says, I have seen the Lord. She doesn't give us a doctrine. She doesn't give us a statement of faith. She surely gives us nothing close to the creeds that we find at the back of our hymnals. She gives you a personal testament. I have seen the Lord. And so I thought, well, where have I seen the Lord in the life of Blaine Memorial these last 6 weeks? Where have we seen the risen Christ pop up once again, disturbing our understandings, challenging us to love more, bringing new life in where we thought dead ends were all that existed? This first slide is a quote that I found when I was scrolling through Twitter as I was preparing for my sermon this week. It says, resurrection at its best is experienced, not explained. It's always a wonder to me when our church is jam-packed full of people on Resurrection Sunday. And I wonder how many of them actually have to kind of like check their brains at the door because resurrection is just too much for their intellectual minds to handle. There's too much unbelief there. And so I wonder, not just on full Sundays like Easter, but even today, how many of us find so many themes of faith difficult because we feel like they have to be explained? When really, resurrection, new life in Christ is best experienced. It was over a casual conversation that I started to hear this experience of new life. I met Pat for a happy hour out in Ballard a couple weeks ago. And if you don't know what Pat looked like when he first came to us, this is a picture of what Pat first looked like when he came to Blaine Memorial. You gotta be careful what you have access to on Facebook now. Pat Dayton, native of Iowa. Some of my roots go back to Iowa, so we connected on that early on. But it was just friends of friends, right? That's how we first got to meet. I treated them to pizza up in Ballard when they first started in seminary here. Pat didn't keep those locks for very long, as you see now. But it was over this conversation that I've begun to just want to hear his heart. Do you ever do that? Do you ever take people out and just ask, what's on your heart? What's going through your mind these days? Like, what is laying with you? What's walking with you? It's an amazing question that can sometimes, especially if you have some time to listen, can open up lots of doors. And I started to hear his experience, not just of some of the darker moments that life has presented, but I also started to hear the witness of the risen Christ. So if you'll allow me to share the sermon, that's all right, right? If we could welcome Pat up here to share some of his thoughts on where he has seen the risen Christ.
Good morning. Oh. I don't have to lean that close. If you could, yeah, we don't have to keep, there we go. That's not, I was going to start with how I arrived at Blaine, and Reverend Shalom is fitting inviting me up here because she was the one that initially invited me to Blaine for the first time after we had met for pizza. And I showed up looking like that. I don't remember wearing the Hawaiian shirt, but I was definitely wearing something that was fitting to that hairstyle. And what I found interesting about this place is that it didn't, like, normally everywhere else I go, I get asked a lot of weird questions when I look like that. But that actually didn't happen here. I was received warmly. I was given nice chocolates and water. And everyone was really nice and smiling and like, please come back again. We really enjoyed you having here. And I was like, really? Okay. And so I came back, and I liked Blaine so much here that I started doing my seminary internship. And for many of you, I think I've shared this before, but when you choose the internship, you actually choose where you want to go at my school. And so I actually chose to be at Blaine because of the community and because of the leadership that's here. And but throughout this internship, the last quarter, for a lot of the time, I was here a lot, and I was on stage a lot, and I was sharing. And I've had a few people come up and ask why I haven't been sharing as much or being up front as much. And that's for a two-part reason. One, now I'm actually helping more with the youth group. But the real reason I stopped coming as frequently and was stopped up front as much is because I had a falling out within my own life, and it had nothing to do with Blaine, but through kind of the losing of my home. And I wasn't physically taken from my home, but I was spiritually, emotionally, and mentally taken from the sanctuary of my home through an experience with a roommate and housemate that had a mental health breakdown. And for many of us that have experienced something like that, it's very hard. And for two straight weeks, it was right around the time of Lent. I've always been told that Lent is a time of lament, and it's not necessarily a celebration. And this is really the first time that I experienced that kind of Lent. It was a 2-3 week period where it was a slow process and things kept getting worse for my friends and my housemates. 2 weeks straight, I woke up every day to receiving a text message, a call, a voicemail with bad news. And one day I came in and I was meeting with Reverend Derek, and he asked me, have you had it today? And I said, no, but that's because I haven't checked my phone yet. I'm just assuming it's going to come at some point today. And I felt like I couldn't be at home. I couldn't rest at home. I was sleeping on friends' couches. I was living out of a bag. I was moving around. I wasn't able to do schoolwork. I wasn't able to meet with friends regularly. Every single day I felt some kind of negative emotion, whether it be fear, guilt, sadness, anxiety, stress, grieving. I've never been so overwhelmed with negative emotions during this time. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating well. Some days I never even smiled. I didn't laugh. And when I was explaining this to Reverend Derek, he recommended that I take some time away to find some rest, to find some place. And this is where I see Blaine. And so through my time at Blaine, I've always enjoyed being at Blaine. But I think there's levels of acceptance that you kind of go through when you start going to a new place and you start gathering. And I was definitely an outsider, and not just because I was white, but because I was new. And I've been growing over this time, and it was through this experience that I really, really feel like I have been able to call Blaine family, and to say that Blaine is really, really my family and my church family. And it wasn't just because Reverend Derek gave me the good advice to step away for a little bit, but because when people heard about what I was experiencing, they stepped up in ways that no one else has ever stepped up for me. And a member of this community gave me a home that had been vacant within their family that me and my other roommate, was able to live in for free of charge for a full month while this was going on. For a whole month, I was able to live at this place and actually find rest, actually find relief, be removed from the situation. But it wasn't just for me. It was for my roommate, who they did not know. It was for my friends that were experiencing the same thing that I was feeling. There was a group of six of us that were feeling in the midst of this. And it was relief for them as well, because they were able to come. And for a weekend, we had a Harry Potter movie marathon. But it really did give us rest and relaxation for us to be removed from what was happening. When you're in the midst of something like this, sometimes you don't realize what you've seen. As Mary Magdalene in the scriptures, she was literally in the same room, in the same tomb as Jesus, and didn't realize she was in the midst of the risen Lord. And that is the same for me in this community. You see the risen Lord in how we love one another. It wasn't just people offering me a home, it was people offering me rest. It was people offering me love. And words cannot express how much that meant to me, how much I needed it, and how I was able to recover and respond for me and my friends. And then I realized it here. I had a moment, it was the first moment I can say that I actually felt good again. And it was several months after, but I was sitting near the back during communion. And I looked over, and I looked down to the left of my aisle, and I saw one of the most beautiful things I think you can see at a church. It was three generations walking down the aisle to receive communion together. But it wasn't just that they were walking down the aisle. They were walking down the aisle physically supporting one another and carrying one another down. And what makes this so amazing to me is that communion, and the reason I love communion, because the church is all over the world. There's like Japanese services going on in Japan right now, or later. I'm not sure the time difference. But all over the world on Sundays, churches gather. And one thing that everyone does at some point is share communion. And no matter what language, it's a universal experience that Christians have together. It's a time for us to come to the Lord It's a spiritual union between Christ and the church, the big C church, all of us together. And it's something that we don't do as an individual. It's something that we always do with one another. And so when I see three generations walking down together, physically taking one of their own to the Lord, is exactly what you all have done for me. I saw the Lord because of this church, because of the community, because of the loving way that you care for one another. And that's why I can say that Blaine is my family. I didn't feel like an outsider when a house was given to me and trusted in me. I don't feel like an outsider when all of you provide food for me, especially all of the leftovers. I really appreciate that. I'm not a very good cook. And I can say that because of Blaine, I have seen the Lord and I've experienced the joy again of the Lord. Mm. And I'm not just saying that. Mm. I was crying in here during that communion because it was the first time I felt a little bit of happiness in 3 or 4 months. And that was because of this community. And it's not always through crisis that we can experience this. It's through everyday lives of interacting with a loving community. And so I want to ask you where you have experienced the Lord. In this community, in your own family, in big ways, in small ways. But I would ask you to take a time and reflect and see where you have seen, where you have experienced the Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, that kind of work of looking with new lenses, that's all of our work. That's not just the pastoral team. That's a powerful story, right? I didn't manufacture that. It came because we're willing to see where new life is being birthed even now. Even now. When we go out to coffee, when we have dinners, when we're working side by side in the gardens. It's in the garden, right? It's in the garden where Christ revealed himself once again. And I would venture to say that that risen Christ continues to venture out, continues to kind of cozy up to us, continues to root itself in the cracks and fissures of our lives, making new things possible every day. I'm grateful for this community, for what you have done for one of our brothers, and I'm grateful for all the countless stories that could probably be told at this pulpit also. But we'll probably have to remain at our coffee conversations and dinner tables. Beloved, Pat's question is a good one. Where have we experienced the Lord? Not just known or seen in some intellectual way, but where are we physically feeling, being affected by and influenced by the witness of the risen Christ? Let us pray. Loving God, you come to us disguised some days. Disguised in the persons of the people that we cannot stand. Disguised as the people who we can't understand. Your figure is often concealed by our own struggles and challenges, and yet, we know that you are real. We know that the Spirit of the living Christ is present whenever we choose to bring more understanding and openness rather than shut down. We know that you cause things to grow in us and around us. We know that your essence is love, and so where we share love is where you are present. Thank you for this witness, and thank you for the ways that you are making yourself known to us. Give us eyes to see you. Give us hearts that feel you. Give us hands and voices to speak out for you, where the least of these have no knowledge of you. We pray all these things in the name of the risen Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.